Humanity Chats, a conversation about everyday issues that impact humans. Join us. Together, we can go far.
Today, we're talking about decision making, and we are honored to have Madeline Weiss with us. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, whether it's Weiss or Weiss. I should have asked her. But welcome to Humanity Chats, everyone, where we talk about everyday issues that impact humans. A little bit about Madeline. She is a Harvard trained helping high stress professionals, executives, and entrepreneurs thrive in work and life. I bet Madeline has more to share with us about her bio. I can't wait to bring her into the studio. If you're here today, tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Humanity Chats once again. Let's go get Madeline. Hello, Madeline.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, welcome to Humanity Chats. It's nice to have you here with us. Before we get started, we would like to know a little bit more about you. And as you share that, can you share a fun fact that we're not going to find on the internet about you?
Let me think. All right, I'm just going to come out with this. I was a very mouthy little girl. That was fun for me. It wasn't so much fun for my dad, but that was fun for me. And this part is not the fun part. This is the sad part, but I think it will tell your listeners a little bit why I am as, I hate to use the overused word, but why I am as passionate about helping other people to find satisfaction and success in their lives as I am. That part has to do with, because I was so mouthy, so I was grounded a lot for being mouthy. And when I was 15 years old, my father died suddenly of a stroke. And, you know, people didn't talk to their kids about their feelings the way they do now. So I went for a good long time thinking that it was all my fault until one day in the cemetery with my mother, I broke down about how all my fault it was. And she said, "No, honey, it wasn't you. It was work." So my father was only one of many, many, actually it's 120,000 is the statistic of people who die of work stress related conditions per year. So yeah, I'm pretty motivated to get in there and see what I can do to help people have happier, healthier, prosperous, and productive lives for themselves and all the big and little people counting on them. So.
Well, I'm sorry about your dad. And I'm sad to also hear that for the longest time you blamed yourself for his. I hope you have come to terms with the fact that you did not cause that death now.
I think of him, and I think of him like up there. What, you know, who knows? But I think of him up there and that he's proud of me for helping where I can. So that takes care of that part of it. But thank you. Thank you, Margie.
You're welcome. Now, as we talk about the stress of work and how you try to help people with it, today we're talking about how to optimize decision making. And I believe it's going to encompass stress and and of course the decisions that we make. Can we delve into our topic now?
Sure. So believe it or not, human beings make about 35,000 decisions every day. And there is something that doctors are now actually calling decision fatigue, because we are exhausted. And then there's this issue that, which is a mistake, it's a myth that people think. So everybody listen carefully here. People think that the more important a decision is, the more time they should spend making it. The harder a decision is, the more time they should spend making it, and in so doing, exhaust themselves. When the truth is, the reason a decision can be so hard is because there are pluses and minuses either way you go. If there weren't, it would be really easy, right? This one's good, this one's bad. You'll do the good, forget the bad. But when they're more balanced and there are pluses and minuses that are more equally balanced on both sides, that's what makes it hard. But that's why we should go faster. Did I say that in a way that made any sense?
Yes, it did. Please go ahead.
Okay. All right, good. So it's hard because of the pluses and minuses being relatively equal on both sides. Therefore, we should go faster. But people are terrified to make a mistake, especially if it's important. So they go slower, and it's a problem, especially in leadership. Like, there's a study that 66% of participants will not follow a leader who appears to be hesitating. There's, so we have to take action. We can't sit in analysis paralysis and exhaust ourselves and make ourselves sick while nothing much good is happening, because we're not exercising our agency. And another myth is that people think they shouldn't be emotional. It just happened today with a client where she got teary at what was kind of a breakthrough moment. And she was apologizing all over the place. She said, I had told myself I wasn't going to be emotional. And I just said, why? And then I told her about all these studies that show that where there has been, like, say, brain damage, and so the higher brain center doesn't have access to our emotions because of the injury, the decisions are terrible, or people just can't even make them. And there's all kinds of science on cognitive impairment because we don't take the emotions into account. So in fact, we're trying to be really smart and just be very rational. But a smarter thing to do is to integrate all parts of the brain. And I have an exercise that I teach people that's on my website at madeleineweiss.com. There's a tab that says power breathing. And for free, people can pull off this 30-second mindset reset that integrates the brain. So the emotional center can be all freaked out. And by the way, I want you to know that sometimes it's positive. People think it's only negative. But I've had clients who were so excited about an opportunity that they couldn't think straight. So either way, when we're in a high emotional state, what we want to do is have that part of us say to the higher brain, I'm a little excited here. Can you help? And the higher brain is now connected through this little 30-second mindset reset and says, thank you for sharing. I got it from here.
So we should kind of confer with ourselves in the decision-making process?
Yes, we should check in with ourselves, and we should definitely factor in how we are feeling. The emotions are not allowed to drive the bus. The emotions are not allowed to make decisions for us, but they should definitely be factored in. I'm thinking of another young client who did an exercise with me. He, you know, like the world was his oyster. He had all these different opportunities and he couldn't decide on which way to go. And so we did this exercise and he liked numbers. So he did numerical values of this and this and this and this. And one of those was graduate school. And he gave that a zero. There was no way that he was going to graduate school. But it turned out as he followed what excited him, he realized he needed a graduate degree to be able to do what he was now dreaming about. He's not only in one graduate program, but he's doing a dual degree. So he's in two graduate programs, not just one, because he followed what it was that he was excited about. And again, I talked to someone today who is so sad about not loving what she's doing. So there again, where the emotions really matter, you know, to do work that you feel, quote unquote, feel is meaningful and important. And then your higher brain says, okay, I hear you. What do we have to do next? What decisions do we need to make? What actions do we need to take to make this dream come true?
So it is a process. Now, you said something about the importance of not waiting, but I also have a question about the fear of rushing to make decisions without thinking it through. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because there are times that we may make decisions and they end up not making sense because we didn't look at the big picture, or we made the decision based on impulse.
Right. So car coming, get out of the way is an example, right? That your impulse, you saw a car coming and your impulse was to get out of the way. So that's an example of a good occasion to operate on pure impulse, right? Mm-hmm. But there are other occasions where we want to think things through first. So sometimes when people are having trouble deciding, let's say between this job or that job, or this partner or that partner, will do an exercise where they will come up with like five or six or whatever values that are really important to them. And then they'll draw pie charts where they put the same exact pie chart for this option with all, like in each piece of pie, there's a different value. And then they have another pie that has exactly the same values in the pieces of pie in the sections. And then they shade them in terms of which way they feel they will be most satisfied. And there's something about stepping outside of yourself. And that, by the way, doesn't take very long and it's fun. And stepping outside of yourself, getting out of yourself and looking at the visual that seems to really serve people well. In other cases, there might be more serious research to do. But the point is, when we get to the point where the only thing stopping us is the fear of this unknown, remember that when we make a decision to go somewhere, even if it's wonderful, that we have never been before, we're going to feel anxiety. And people say to me, well, how do I know it's not my internals telling me don't go there, or I'm just afraid of the new and the unknown. And to that I say, and there are exercises for this too, but if you have a vision of how you want your life to look, to sound, to feel, anything that is aligned with that, and you might still feel anxious, but it's aligned, so you take a step. If it's not aligned, if it doesn't serve your vision of your great life, then we don't. And I have something called the Goldilocks principle. Mm-hmm. And that is the when we make a decision, we're going to move in a certain direction. We want the steps to be not so big that they freak us out and shut us down, mm-hmm. but big enough that our brain, the motivation and learning centers in our brain get ignited, get excited. So the brain starts thinking, something's happening here, and it wants to do more. Take another step and another step until, by golly, you're there. And I can't tell you how much I love watching people get there.
One step at a time.
Yeah. One decision at a time. You know, when I wrote my book, Getting to Great, it was only after that that I saw the 35,000 decisions a day statistics. And I saw that Forbes said that every organization should have decision making at the top of its agenda. And I said to myself, by golly, what is my 5-step process of getting to great, if not a series of decisions, one after another, after another? And I want to remember to say, because I think this is really important, it's not the decisions we make as much as what we make of those decisions once we have made them. So you imagine you have a really difficult decision, because either way you go, there's a plus that you're going to give up when you choose the other one. And either way you go, there might even be a minus that you're going to have to figure out how to deal with. So knowing that, it's not like you're going to make a decision and it's, you know, definitely smooth sailing from there, but it's how we deal with that. It's what we make of that decision that shapes our life for better and for worse. So
our decision could make or break us, as we all know. And if you had to give us 5 tips on the best way to make decisions, what would those 5 bullet tips be?
Well, it's interesting you're saying 5, because I do have an acronym for it that is FLASH. So that would be FLASH. But will you settle for 3? Because I have 3 top of mind right now, and FLASH is too much to unpack in the time that we have today. Can I give you 3?
Yes.
All right. 1, recognize that since there is no such thing as perfect information anyway, there is little point in holding out for it and exhausting yourself in the process. That's 1. 2, use that Goldilocks principle. And that means designing action steps that are not so big that they overwhelm us into decision paralysis, but not so small that our brains are uninspired into decision paralysis either. So not too big, decisions and action steps. Not too big, not too little, but just right to build your confidence in your ability to make decisions and reduce the fear of making the wrong ones. So build your confidence and reduces your fear to get those steps right. Not too big, not too little, but just right. And then 3, what we were talking about before, which is just to remember that it's not the decisions we make, but what we make of those decisions once we have made them that makes all the difference in our lives. And we just need to get moving and practice, 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 and see what happens.
practice, practice, practice. And so by you talking about practice, that falls in line with consistency. Many a times we have heard that you can have dreams, you can have aspirations, but the consistency matters. Can you elaborate on that before we end our conversation?
Yeah, I actually have a program on decision making, and it has three parts, and it goes to that very fine point you just made. And so the first is how you set a really fine goal. But you're absolutely right. If you're not committed to your own goal, it doesn't matter how good your goal was. So to your point, Margie, yes, the second part is how do you develop and protect your commitment to your goal? And then the third part people find kind of fun, because sometimes it's not so much fun, is that in order for that, you know, it's not enough even to have a great goal and even a commitment to it, because often, if not always, there are other people involved. There are other people whose buy-in we need. And so the third part is navigating the people to make your dreams come true. So it's setting the goal, but that's not enough unless there's also a commitment to it. And that's not enough unless we have the support that we need around us.
That's wonderful. Well, Madeline, thank you so much for these tips. If folks want to learn more about you, do you have your website or social media handle or any additional information that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So if anyone wants to go to my website at madelinewise.com, everything is there. All of my social media is there. I post a blog every week, and that's also free. The power breathing exercise is free. It's also possible right from the top of the website there to schedule a complimentary free session with me to talk about this as it pertains to you, not just in general. And I would love to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for pointing our listeners in a direction where they can follow up with you. Listeners, we all make decisions in a day. I bet, as Madeline said, 35,000 decisions going on around us. And so these decisions are also important. Sometimes they can make or break us, or they can determine our next step. Whether it's a job, whether it's school, whether it's having a family or not having a family, whether you decide to exercise or to eat ice cream, whatever that decision is, we have to optimize our decision-making process. And Madeline has shared some tips with us. So I would recommend that you go back and even listen to this podcast. And you know what? If it makes sense to you, then share it with your network. Because together we can go far. This has been Humanity Chats. We have loved being with you today. We will be back.
You.
Yes, yes, yes. And we will be back next week. Before we say bye to our audience, Madeline, do you have anything else to share or to say?
Well, one thing I always like to throw in that doesn't necessarily come up in exactly whatever it is we're talking about is the concept of good company. You know, we don't get necessarily to pick our parents, but we get to pick a lot of the rest of the people in our lives along the way. And good company is not only about people. So we have decisions that we make about the books we read, the food we eat, the wine we drink, the movies we watch. Yes, the people in our lives, and most importantly, the thoughts in our heads. Believe it or not, you are making decisions every day about what kind of company you keep in your own head. So I think knowing that will help us to optimize in all those areas also.
Thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that ties into our mental health as well. So Yes, thank you so much. Well, listeners, this has been Humanity Chats, where we get together and talk about everyday issues that impact humans. Until next time, it's Margie Marge and Madeline Weiss.
Thank you for listening. Share with a friend. We are humans from all around the world, one kind only, and that is humankind. Your friend, Margie Marge.